Blog Talk Radio.
And I'd like to welcome you to another great night of Spiritual Connections Radio. As you know, we have what we call Spiritual Connections Radio, which has a number of radio shows, but this is the main radio show that we do every Thursday and the reason why we started everything. So if you want to find out more about this show and other shows, you can go to our website at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and introduce my host, Pam.
Hi, Mark. How are you tonight?
Good, good. It's always great to have you on. And, you know, before we get started and everything, why don't you tell everybody about the Sister Network and all the great work that you're doing?
Well, thank you. There is sort of a sister radio station to Spiritual Connections called Pamela Latour Radio for the moment. And we have several shows that happen during the week. This last week on Tuesday night, we did a show called Soul Traveler, which is done by a woman named Patricia McGivern and myself, and we discuss the path of the soul from one lifetime to another. It's basically a soul about reincarnation, and we talk to real people and who share their experiences about different lifetimes they've had. It's a really fascinating show. This last show blew me away. And Thursday mornings, I do a show with Dr. Kelly Brady called Insights and Umbrellas, and we discuss current events. It's a morning show, so it's very light. It's very funny. She's really a funny woman, and we have a great time doing it. And we talk about the sort of the intersection between quantum physics, psychotherapy, which is what she does, and ancient Chinese medicine. So basically, it's kind of dissecting life and putting it back together in a way that hopefully gives us a little more insight, lots of tips on how to lead a happier life, and generally an easier path. So anyway, lots of fun things to do. You can find out more about it at PamelaLatourRadio.com. And thank you for letting me tell everybody about the station. That's really nice of you, Mark.
Oh, no problem. I always get excited to hear about all the shows and you know what's going on and everything. So it's great.
Thank you. So why don't we start talking about our guest tonight, because I can't wait to hear what she has to say.
All right, so we have our guest tonight. Her name is Deborah Cortez, and she's going to be talking to us about a whole bunch of different things and everything. I'll let you go ahead and lead in on some of the background, Pam.
Okay. Deborah, the interesting thing about my association with Deborah is I read through her bio earlier today, and she's offering our guests a free gift, and I'm going to let her talk to you about that. But she just has some amazing things to talk about tonight. She's an artist, entrepreneur, and a handbag designer, which is really phenomenally interesting. She's also very involved with nature and the way that nature from what I understand from the little bit that I've read about her, the way that nature interacts with our own lives and looking closely at nature and what it is that you can discover. The one thing that I really, I'd like to talk all about that, but also the one thing that I'm really fascinated with is her concepts of the flower of life as it relates to the law of attraction. And so I'd like to get right to it and let Deborah talk to us a little more about that. Her name is Deborah Cortese, and I'd like you to welcome you to the show. Are you there, Deborah?
I am here. Thank you so much. I appreciate my invitation to be here and to get to speak to everyone. And thank you, Mark and Pamela. And I'm not sure exactly where to start, but
let's start in the beginning. You made a comment in your bio about your grandmother's garden, and I'm sure that was a while ago. So why don't you start there?
Okay, that was a very long time ago. My grandmother had a farm actually close to where I am now, near Narrowsburg, New York. And there was a stream that ran by the garden, and it was right along the Delaware. We had a view of the Delaware then. And I was thrilled when I was one of the people that was actually allowed to go in her garden and weed. I guess I was, you know, I made the distinction. I could tell which ones were weeds and which ones I wasn't supposed to pull. But that was just early on, and then we spent almost every weekend down on the farm, and there were a lot of kids, a lot of cousins. They always were there together, and we'd go for a lot of walks, and I always, always, always zoned in on some little creature in the grass, or, you know, a little snake or a little bug or a little animal or a flower that no one else had seen. And, you know, I didn't know until many years later that that was nature's way of just showing me what I enjoyed, what, you know, I believe that I felt the vibrations from those creatures and plants. So that, yeah, so that was,
you,
that was the beginning.
did you use that as you grew up to evolve into something toward what you're doing now?
Yeah, very much. But there was a very long period in between when I don't think that I was conscious of it. You know, getting married, having children, running a business, things like that. It's amazing how many levels you can function on without really paying attention. But later on, I guess, after my first daughter was born, when she was about five, I started getting very much back into it again. And this was in northern Vermont by then. And my sister-in-law had sent us a book about the Findhorn Gardens. And I was fascinated by that. You know, if you know anything about that, they basically, it was a very barren area, and the people talked to the plants. That was the main thing. And grew phenomenal vegetables and things. And it's still going, from what I understand. I've never visited yet. It's on my list. But we had a huge garden in Vermont, and I would talk to the pea devas. And at the time, I was very amused because I was just playing. And then that kind of evolved into me taking photographs and pretending that I was seeing the devas, and then eventually I was seeing them. And you know, and they're little fairies and little gnomes and little creatures. And part of it is because I'm visually oriented, I believe, that I would see those. Now I still occasionally see little faces in the trees and the leaves and things, but more I'm more sensitive to the energy. I can feel it, sense it, hear it almost. It just depends. You have to be paying attention. Paying attention and focus is very important.
That's great. You know, and it's funny because when I was asking you about your grandmother's garden, I thought about asking you about fairies, and I thought, well, this is too early in the interview, and she'll think I'm crazy if she doesn't go there.
Not at all. As a matter of fact, I've had people rolling their eyes at me for years, and some of them were my children, but they kind of got used to it.
Okay, Okay, so, you know, this whole concept of growing in nature and seeing nature on a deeper level and feeling the vibrations of nature, how mm-hmm. has it taken you to the point that you are now?
It's been a process, and I think it's almost a step-by-step, and you know, I'm old enough now that I can look back and see the patterns and things. And that's what I think, that everything, to me, everything is a pattern. Everything's a mathematical equation of some sort, a dimension, an alignment, a vibration. It's like, I get a little carried away. The flower of life, the flower of life blew me away. I was always in high school, wasn't a great math fan, but I loved geometry. And then, of course, that led to sacred geometry, and I've always been fascinated with that. But it's only been in the last, I'd say, 4 or 5 years that I really started working with flower of life and sacred geometry. And that, to me, that represents energy, every bit of it.
I agree. So yeah. So you mentioned here in your bio that you're helping people identify and clarify their life purpose.
Yes. Now, okay, I'm also an avid reader and lifelong student of all kinds of things. I really don't read much fiction because then I forget to stop. But books like Julia Cameron's book, her Artist's Way and Vein of Gold actually kind of inspired me to do some of this on the Seeds of Intention, because some of the practices that she does in there are similar to what I have included, I guess, as kind of a game with the Seeds of Intention. And me in my grandmother's garden goes back to really the core of what the Seeds of Intention exercise is about. Because I believe that as young children, before we get any of the, attitudes and beliefs of our family and teachers and whoever else, before then you're very connected to who you are. And over the years, you know, you forget about that. So in the Seeds of Intention workshop, the exercises are, some of the questions are, what was your favorite childhood game, or your childhood movie or character? And I've done this with groups of people, and in a group, especially a group that already knows each other somewhat, it's really enjoyable. And I have to say, there was one person in a group one time too that really didn't have a lot of happy childhood memories that she could connect with. I think she'd been in an abused family situation, but she did come up with something, and she did do a beautiful drawing. And the drawing is based on the flower of life for the Seed of Intention, and that's part of the process. But it's an intuitive part of the process where you've already answered all these questions and gotten in a playful mode. And when we do it, when I do that live, I also have some background music that's kind of meditative. I actually do a meditation to get into it, and then keep the music on in the background while people are chatting and coloring, and have them set an intention actually before they color, based on their questions and stuff, to come up with something. And it can be as simple as, I want to go to such and such a movie this weekend. It can be something that simple. I had people in real estate that wanted to sell a particular house, and within 2 months they got back to me and said, you know, we sold that house, we did this, we did that. It was kind of fascinating. So
that's great.
So part of the process then, so they go through the meditation and then go through the playful questions, and then literally coloring, either with colored pencils or crayons. And the directions in there are, there are no rules, just grab a pencil that looks like it. You want to color with that pencil, and you can use two or three, you can use only one, you can use whatever you want, and color any way you want, anyhow you want. And it's just amazing the patterns that people came up with. And they seem like random patterns. And then one of the other things that I do, again, in the live version, is I have a deck of cards that are sacred geometry cards. And we would have them randomly pull a card from that. And the part that blew me away was that I think it was 5 out of 6 people, the colors in the card that they drew were almost identical to the colors that they used on their seat of intention. So that
wow.
was very cool. Yeah, and then, of course, then there's readings on the cards as well. So that was pretty cool.
So if I can interrupt you for just a second, Deborah, I want to understand the way that this flows, if I may.
Okay.
We're talking about, first we do the little meditation, we relax
mm-hmm.
and get comfortable. Then
yes.
then we talk about, and we're doing this on our own, and anybody can go to your website and download this, am I correct?
Yes. Yep, there's a free
okay.
version for anybody. I have a special link for Spiritual Connections Radio listeners, and I just did that because I wanted it to be even easier to get to it. So I can give you that right now.
Sure,
is that
go
a good
ahead.
Idea? Okay, it's
yeah.
I'm gonna say it slowly. It's http://, and it's Deborah Cortez, DebraCortese.com. Another backslash. Blog, B-L-O-G, / S-C-R, / And the S-C-R is Spiritual Connections Radio. And we'll have
excellent.
To-
yeah. And also for people who need that, if you go to spiritualconnectionsradio.com and find some information about the radio show tonight, the link is right there also for everybody.
Okay.
Right,
great.
Which
yeah.
would be a lot easier.
Yeah, and I do, I mean, I do want to get people's names, so they're going to have to send me an email, but then they'll have an auto response. They should have the program, have the download within minutes. It's a 3-page, 8.5 by 11-inch sheets that you can print out and color, read and color.
Great. It's beautiful. So back to my question. We do the little meditation. Then there's 3 questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, questions like, what's your favorite childhood movie, and so on. You
mm-hmm.
know, 3 kids questions. What have... Tell me about you when you were a child kind of thing, or remember when you were a child.
Right.
Then you write down one specific goal that you would like to achieve within 30 and 60, because there's 30 to 60 days. And then you color, right? Am I right?
Right. And the reason and what's happening there is first you're getting relaxed, and then you're getting into this like remembering your childhood. So you're getting pretty light and fun and more accepting and like losing any of your limiting beliefs. And then in that frame of mind, and I also follow Abraham Law of Attraction, so then you're in your vortex, so you're pretty darn close. So then you're setting your intention from that point of energy. And that's really important.
It's almost like, if I can jump in here, maybe you can help me a little bit. It's almost like you're reactivating your body from a very early age.
Yes.
Because we store memories in our body.
Sure.
So you reactivate the body even from a very young age, and then you write the intention, and
mm-hmm.
then you color, but you're coloring on a flower of life grid, which I think is very powerful.
Yes, definitely.
So I love the way that you've done this, and I have to say that I was planning on doing the whole process before we got on the radio, but I just ran out of time. There was a lot of people in the house, and I couldn't pull it off. But
right.
I plan to do it in the morning when it's a little more quiet, and I hope our audience members take you up on this as well, because it looks like a very powerful thing. How did you come up with it?
Honestly, I don't know. I've been creating, well, actually, I should say this. Okay, it had to do with honeybees, more sacred mm-hmm. geometry. The house that I lived in Miami was an old wooden house and with a lot of little gaping holes, but perfect size for honeybees to come in and invade my house. And it was about the 5th time that they had invaded, and this time they were in my kitchen, and they were in the kitchen ceiling, and when the bee removers, I always had them remove and relocate the bees because I am very fond of them as well, and he had to open up my kitchen ceiling, and there was 100 pounds of honeycomb and honey dripping from my kitchen ceiling. So, but while they were doing that, I was working, getting ready for an art show with two other women. It was a triad show, we called it, and it was 3 women, 3 months, and 3 different shows each. And I was doing sacred geometry for my version of it. So I'm there painting my sacred geometry flower of life paintings, and the bees are flying around, and it just kind of all flowed together.
I see.
Yeah. Well,
That's wonderful.
Like I said, in the Julia Cameron books, and at the time I was also attending regular Abraham meetups, Law of Attraction meetups, and then this other group that we were doing as well, which was kind of an offshoot of that, but people that were more business-oriented and wanted to focus on that. So.
Yeah. Well, that's wonderful. What I love about this is you've got the flower of life, which is the seed of everything.
Right.
It's the beginnings of every seed. It's the beginning of every fetus. It's the beginning of everything. It's the sacred geometry of life. And you use that to generate this concept of setting goals for yourself in your life.
Yes.
How did you connect those two?
Well,
I mean, it seems obvious when you look at it from that perspective, but it's not obvious when you're looking from afar.
Mm-hmm. I guess I have to say that I just go with how things feel a lot, and it just meant so much to me when I was working on those. I was so in tune with myself and with what I was doing that it made sense. And I mean, anytime I'm painting or creating something, I'm in the flow, so that feels amazing. And I just know that other people have that. Even people that say, I don't have a passion, or I don't have, you know, I don't know my path, or I can't find it. They do, and people just don't recognize where their magic is, and that kind of helps find it, I think.
It's a fascinating concept, and I think, when I read it, I thought, my God, this has got to work well. I'm sure it does.
Now, I wanted to say something because I went off on a little tangent before we went live online here, too. The flower of life to me, you know, originally I had just seen the drawings of it, and then I've seen there's tons of art and jewelry. But lately, because of the mathematics of it and the vibration of it, I'm seeing it as waves. And it's waves of DNA. It's not flat, and it's waves of DNA. It's waves of emotion. It's waves of thought, of energy.
That's cool. You know,
yeah.
I used to have these, you know, the space right before you fall asleep at night.
Yeah.
I used to have these geometrical shapes that would just come in waves through my consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And I always wondered what they were. Until I got into the flower of life and that concept, and I think a lot of people have them and don't understand what they are.
Sure. Yeah, I would imagine. You know, I mean, our body is waves of energy, and our thoughts. So I mean, we are our thoughts. We are everything that we see. And okay, this is another tangent. I might be overstepping the edge here, but. To me, every book that you read that really resonates with you, or a line in a book, or a line in a song or something, is a message from ourselves to remind us of who we are and what we're doing. So things that resonate with me may not resonate with the next person, but that's who I am, that's who they are. And we're all, you know, we're all that initial seed, but experiencing our own perspectives. And creating the story.
That's interesting. Now the joyful, playful alignment, when you approach a goal and you've decided, okay, this is what I want to happen, this is what I want to feel and experience in my life. Explain to the audience, if you would, what you mean by joyful, playful alignment.
Okay, well, if you go back to the original questions and you say, when I was a child, my favorite movie for me, it was The Wizard of Oz. Not a surprise. And it's fun. I mean, it's magical, and there are, you know, creatures, scary creatures and fun creatures and gorgeous things, and she's flying through the air in a house. I mean, when I was a child, I mean, I thought it was real. And it's just fun. So if you can get into that place where your imagination is just, like, flying, and then from that place set an intention, it's fun. It's just there are no obstacles to what you're asking for at that moment. There's no, I don't deserve it, or there's no way that can happen. You know, you just don't have any of that. And if you can stay in that frame of mind, your energy, okay, the mathematics of it to me, it's like, so you're vibrating at a level 9. And in order to get the thing that you want, that's level 9 too. So you have to stay at 9, because if you veer off track and you go down to a 3 because you had a bad day, you had a fight with somebody, or, you know, you don't have enough money to pay the rent this month, and you're thinking about that because you're not thinking about where you're going. You're not thinking about this intention, this goal. And that was something else that I've heard my whole life. You have to have a backup plan. And that's guaranteed failure to me if I have a backup plan. I mean, I can do other things to do what I need to do, but the backup plan is like saying, oh, okay, well, you know, maybe this won't happen. And you want it to happen.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So setting up a backup plan is admitting before you even start that you'll probably fail.
Yes. I mean, it's okay to cover your butt, as they say, but but do it some way within the plan.
So the concept of joyful, playful alignment is mm-hmm. really going back to a point in your life where you didn't set such consistent
right.
blocks for yourself.
Right.
Anything was possible at age 3. You could speak Chinese, you could climb mountains, you could do
mm-hmm.
anything at age 3.
Exactly.
And so putting yourself back in that playful mode of anything is possible is what you really were meaning to say by that.
Yeah, and that's where you want to be, exactly. You want to be
okay.
You want to be to that place where you believe anything is possible, just like you just said, and any of your limiting beliefs are just gone. They've vanished. They've poof.
I like that. Okay, now let's talk about staying focused.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I go ahead.
I just want to say I've had the word focus as my guiding direction for, I don't know, several years now. And as an artist, it's hard for me to stay focused. Bright, shiny objects are very hard to resist. So focus is important.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I was going to say that I often teach a class. I started in 2000 teaching a class called The Keys of Life, which is a group of several different insights or understandings of life, bringing you to a point of actually creating something in your life, which is really
mm-hmm.
what this is all about as well.
Yeah.
And,
very
go ahead. I'm sorry. What?
I just said very similar. Same concept, same probably energy.
Right, exactly. So one of the things I've found to be the biggest block to people deliberately changing something that they'd like to change in their life is the fact that they don't stay focused, that it's
right.
very easy to get distracted, that it's very easy to wake up in the morning and immediately jump into your day without thinking about who you are or what, you know, what you'd like to experience. But you
yeah.
just get sucked in, and pretty soon 6 months have gone by, or 6 years, or, you know, 60 years have gone by, and you just missed it. So
yeah.
how would you, I think this is probably one of the biggest issues with people
mm-hmm.
not getting to where they want to be. And what would you tell our audience about staying focused?
That is where, and now this is something that I've been doing for a couple of years now, and you need to find a buddy, a partner buddy, somebody that's of a similar mindset someone that supports what you're doing and you support what they're doing. There's this other artist, and she's still in Miami, and I talk to her every Monday night. We have a scheduled talk. We Skype, and it's about our art businesses, but it's also about life and other things as well. And I had a long time ago an art coach as well. So it's kind of like it's a friend, but it's a coaching situation, and it keeps you accountable to yourself because you have to be accountable to this other person. And so at the beginning of the week, you write down what you accomplished last week, and then you write down what you want to do this week. And in the 2 years, we started out with huge lists every week, and we've pared it down to essentials now. So each of us will have 3 or 4 things that we absolutely will finish this week, and then a few other things we want to do. And we do quarterly reviews and semi-annual reviews, and it's very business-like in a way, and yet it's fun.
Okay, I love that.
Yeah.
What if you don't have anyone like that?
Then I think I'm going to suggest meditation. But then I know people have a hard time doing that as well.
You know, I think that people don't have any trouble focusing on changing things when they hit the bottom, when they really hit the wall so hard that there's no place to go but up, and they're forced to change it.
Yeah, that's very true.
But oftentimes, people get complacent when things aren't really bad. They're maybe not really good either. They're just not really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And people have a tendency to just kind of coast and not really generate what they want. Don't you agree?
Well, I do agree.
Kind of nature.
But then I'm going to go on another little spiel on this one. Everyone is at a different level in their beliefs and in their growth. And I really believe that everyone needs to go through a lot of the different stages one way or another. And, so often in my past, I'd be frustrated with somebody because, they didn't have a 5-year plan or a story they wanted to tell. And you can't make other people change. You can only look at them and love the parts about them that you do and kind of compartmentalize the parts that you don't, I guess. It's not for everyone.
I wasn't really insisting that we change everybody. But what I was saying is that people that do want to change and that really have the intention to develop the skill of change still don't do it. Those are the people I'm talking about. Myself included, by the way.
They need to call you, and they need to call me.
That's funny. All right, so let's take a look at what we have here.
All right, let's go ahead and go to break here. Hold on for a second. So anybody who's tuned in, you're listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. We're on every Thursday from 9:30 to 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you miss any part of this show, you can get it as a replay in our archives, and you can get to that by going to our website at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. Go ahead, Pam. I kind of cut you off there.
No, it's all right. Do you have any questions you'd like to ask Deborah? Because I've been talking about
I want to kind of go around a couple different areas here. Deborah, tell me a little bit about the handbag design and the handbags and stuff like that, because I think from what I'm seeing here, I'm seeing some designs which almost looks like geometry into some of the handbags. So tell me about that.
Yeah, definitely. All of my artwork, I would say 99% of it anyway, is based on nature images. So I'm just introducing my new fall and winter collection. And first I'll just tell you the titles of some of them. One of them is called the No. 9 Bridge, which is kind of a popular bridge here over the 10 Mile River in Delaware area. And it's a repeat pattern of the grid work of the bridge against a twilight sky in the winter, which is, to me, it's very cool. that's one. I have another one that's called the Peacock Diamonds pattern, and it was based on a peacock feather, and I would take a small section of the peacock feather and create a repeat pattern out of that. We found a snake in the garden I was working at this summer, and it was a rainbow snake, but I was doing a fall-winter collection, so I did it, rendered it in browns, and it is in the waves that look like the pattern of a flower of life, almost, just the
mm-hmm.
DNA. Yeah, so there's a lot of that.
So where do people find your handbags?
At DeborahCortese.com.
Mm-hmm.
I've been madly building all the new web pages. There's a total of 40 new products because there's 8 designs and 5 different bag styles that they can see them on.
Mm-hmm. That's really exciting. So go ahead and give out your what it's DeborahCortese.com is the main site for them to go see the handbags, right?
Yeah, that will get you. That's the main window that'll get you into all of my work. And my
Excellent.
Blog is there as well. And if anybody wants to know more about the Flower of Life information, there's a search bar on the blog, and you can just search Flower of Life, and a lot of different posts will come up. And there's two things I wanted to recommend in particular. It's Junvalo Melchizedek. He's written that Ancient Flower of Life book, and that
right.
I haven't gotten all the way through that, but that's recommended reading. And then there is this YouTube, group, people that are doing it. It's called Spirit Science. And they have turned the Flower of Life book into little cartoon lessons almost. And it's just, it's fun. It's getting into that joyful place and learning about it as well.
And what was that called again?
Spirit Science.
Spirit Science, and that's up on YouTube?
On YouTube, yeah. That's the name of the channel or the group.
Yeah, I have to go check that out. I've read both of the Flower of Life books, and, of course, I've done a lot of studies with Pam because I sat in a lot of her classes. That's actually how I met her, so
uh-huh.
That's how I kind of cut my teeth on a lot of that stuff. So really good. Yeah. So, you know, one of the things I was thinking about is, when I was looking at your Create Your Own Seed of Intentions, and I know you've kind of worked with a lot of people on this,
mm-hmm.
what do you think is some of the challenges that some of the people have had doing that, and, you know, what do you normally tell them as far as, I mean, this probably goes back to a lot of the playful alignment and staying focused, but, what do you see as some of the pitfalls?
Okay. Like I said, a lot of the groups that I work with, I already was doing other things with the group, so I haven't really done it with people that I don't know, although I have had people just download it and tell me that they enjoyed it, but they didn't share their piece with me. And that's another thing. If people do it, I would love if they'd send in a photo of their piece if they want to share it. There's a page on the blog that has samples of other people's, and it also shows the sacred geometry cards. But as far as some of the blocks, like I said, the one woman, you know, who had some childhood abuse and stuff, she kind of hesitated for a while, but she got right into it. And like I said, she did a beautiful drawing. And some people want it to be a perfect, you know, they have to color within the lines and they want it to be perfect, and that's okay too, but it's not required, and you don't have to have any artistic skills to do it. It really is, it's just, there's something about coloring that's fun and that's childlike, I guess. So that helps. And the music in the background is really, really a good idea too. I have something called Koshi Chimes that I kind of put together on my own. A lot of just background music. Some of it's meditative and some of it's kind of, you know, light and fun as well. Whatever you enjoy, I think.
Mm-hmm. I know earlier you were talking to Pam about, you know, one of the hardest things I think people have is staying focused when they're trying to hold an intention. And you were kind of describing as, you know, you're at mm-hmm. a 9 and you're trying to obtain something that's at a 9, and then you get hit with a curveball.
Right.
That kind of reminds me of a plane going in a tailspin down.
Yeah.
How do you come out of that? How do you stay at the frequency and hold the focus when you are getting hit with a lot of different lower vibration.
That's when, for me, I have to go outside and look at nature, play in the garden, dig in the dirt, go for a walk. And that works for me. Somebody else, it might be playing the piano or going out with friends and doing something. You need to get up and walk away from, literally, physically walk away from whatever it is that you're doing and do something different. And movement really helps, too, you know, just physically moving. I don't know. You know, just it would be other things that you enjoy. So, and people will say, well, you know, I don't have any money to do this or whatever, but a walk doesn't cost anything. That's why I like the nature parts.
Yeah. It's interesting because I noticed one of the points we talked about is what you call joyful, playful alignment. And mm-hmm. I was working with a friend of mine, Dawn, the other day, and we were talking about, you know, what do you do when you get stuck in a situation where you don't feel like, even though you have all the intentions, you're doing all the, you know, all the creation, you're following all the laws of attraction, but mm-hmm. you're not seeing things manifest. And one of the things we thought of, which was kind of a really good way of kind of greasing the wheels and trying to kind of clear anything that might be a block, was creating what we call a joy list. And that mm-hmm. is putting down 10 things on a piece of paper that bring joy into your life, you know,
yeah,
kind of putting your
different.
Heart into it and then basically just kind of trying to achieve
mm-hmm.
what's on the joy list, you know. And
go ahead.
I was
going to
say, it almost reminds me of a bucket list also, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I have, at one point, because I was going, last winter in particular, when I first moved here and wasn't, you know, I had to leave nice warm Miami and come to the cold, and I wasn't quite ready, but I made myself a jar and some little tasks to do that are enjoyable tasks, and so if I get to that point where I was fretting, I could pick one of those. And usually what I do is if I don't like the first one, I throw it back in and pick something else. But,
mm-hmm.
But at least it's something. And I have pets, too. And I have one right in my lap right now, so that helps.
That's great. And
Can I jump in and ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I want to talk about this, the energy alignment process. In
mm-hmm.
other words, to create your own seed of intention, if
uh-huh.
you describe it as an energy alignment process which identifies and expands your ideal life purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's one thing I mentioned earlier, but we really didn't discuss it in depth in terms of how this, I can understand how this would work on basic things, and I think that's how you want to start, doing,
mm-hmm.
you know, creating general things in your life.
Right.
But how does it relate to life purpose? How would you find your life purpose with this process?
Okay, one of the things that I also believe is that when you're a very young child, the things that you're most attracted to are part of your life purpose. And for me, it was nature and art. And so playing, you know, with little creatures and flowers and gardens and things. I mean, that's pretty much what I do now. Only now I create patterns and colors out of them. Some of the different people in the groups, you know, the realtors, the people that lean towards real estate, some of their interests were different. They liked houses and they liked decorating and things like that, even as a child. You can tell the questions, you know, about your favorite characters and your favorite movies. It was very interesting, the patterns that people answered in those, because it was like the books, the TV shows, the movies, the characters were similar. So it would be, you know, like a sports figure or something that somebody, you know, they liked a story about a young boy that turned out to be a sports person, and the movie had somebody like that, or a hero or something. But you could see the relationships in what their careers were now or what they wanted to do from that.
How fascinating. So can I ask you a question? What was your favorite game or activity as a child?
My favorite game. No, I've written these down. I liked making things, and I was always coloring and drawing and painting.
Oh, that's nice. That's really nice.
I mean, I played sports things as well, but those are what I really, really liked. I had Barbie dolls, and I made all of their furniture and their clothes and everything else.
So that's great. Mm-hmm. So go ahead, Mark. Did you want to say something?
Oh, no. I was just kind of listening.
Okay.
So let me ask both of you, what was your favorite childhood character or movie or story?
Who are you talking to?
Well, you first, Pamela.
I think my favorite movie was probably The Wizard of Oz, even though I only saw it once a year. I saw it every year. And
I
it
did
was
as well.
What?
I did as well.
Yeah, they played it every year at Easter, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw it every year, and that was my favorite. For no other reason, it was consistent. It was there every year. My favorite childhood character? I don't know. I haven't come up with one yet. Maybe I've always liked this iconic energy of the underdog, the girl who no one realizes who she was, and probably Snow White for that very reason, you know.
Yeah.
And then suddenly the girl somehow becomes, everyone is aware of whatever it is that she does. You know,
mm-hmm.
I used to play these games with my brothers. I had three younger brothers where they were my minions and I was the Indian princess that no one knew about.
All right.
and I had to very stealthily go to the refrigerator and steal one of my father's martini olives. And if I could eat it and not die, then I would be revealed as the true princess.
Yeah, that's great.
She's got a great
Now, what
story.
Does that say about me?
That's creative. That's great. And look, it's fun. We're in a joyful place. Come on.
It basically means that I just want to be a big shot, I guess.
Yeah, why not? But in your field, I mean, you've got your work. You seem to enjoy the work that you're doing, and you're helping other people as well. So, and I think that's a big part of it now too. It's all about the connections.
You put your finger right on it. It is all about the connections, and life is all about the connections.
Yeah.
You know, the connections you make with nature, the connections
right.
you make with the people in your life, the connections mm-hmm. you make with yourself.
Yeah.
Absolutely true. So what about you, Mark? Can you answer these three questions?
Let's see. What was the first one? The first one was favorite childhood movie?
Right.
That would be The Sound of Music.
All right.
Yeah,
oh,
I just love the way
the
family
that
would. Yeah, I always love the way the family would sing together and
mm-hmm.
You know how they kind of work together. And I think the second question was favorite childhood character.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And that was I always loved the Roadrunner.
All right.
Yeah. Like beep beep, between him and the Tasmanian devil.
All right.
Yeah, the Yosemite Sam.
So you know, it's always great because you know the book was always trying to run around, and you know everybody was always trying. You know that one character was always trying to get him, and
mm-hmm.
He was always too quick and moving around.
That's right. He always got away, and never got hurt either.
Nope.
That's true. And how about the last one? What was your favorite game or activity?
And if we're looking for a good investment back then, it would have been the Acme Dynamite Company.
Maybe we need to look into that now.
And apparently they had FedEx, because how quickly did he get all that stuff delivered since he ordered it?
Out in the middle of the desert.
Yes, but he really wasn't confined by time and space at all. He was living in the now.
Yeah, and he had complete abundance, too, because he never paid for anything, yet everything seemed to appear for him as soon as he ordered it.
See? This is what happens when you do this exercise. This is the energy that goes around the room and around the table, and then people are coloring and humming, and it's amazing.
And how about the last one, Mark? What was your favorite game?
Oh, favorite game. That's a tough one. There was a lot of games. We used to do a lot of games when we were kids. So what was the favorite? Probably Monopoly.
Oh, yeah.
I always enjoyed, getting out of jail and, buying real estate. I was going to say life, because life was fun. You could just pile everybody in the car. And
yeah.
The strategist.
Yeah,
that's interesting. So, based on those two little profiles, Deborah, could you pinpoint? I mean, is that even what you would try to do? Could you pinpoint someone's life purpose, or do you completely rely on them to do it for themselves?
No, I mean, I couldn't pinpoint it just from that. I'd have to have a little more in-depth conversation about the characters and specific things that they like about characters or something, a little more information. But basically, they would tell me themselves. They would tell themselves. Everyone pretty much, we know it. It's just a matter of it hasn't been identified. Again, that's what I said, you pick up a book or you listen to a certain music and it just makes sense. And that's basically speaking to you and saying, this is what's important to you.
I see. So if you could tell our audience just some tips off the top of your head on how to use the seed of intention to find their life purpose and to attain what it is that they want to attain. You have something in here that says keep your seed of intention visible throughout the next 30 to 60 days. I'm assuming that means the drawing that you did.
Yes, it means the drawing. And I actually, in a live workshop, and I don't know if it's in the instructions, and if it's not, I need to put it in, but I asked them to write on the back of the drawing what it is that they intend, what their goal is for that specific thing. And so then the energy of attaining that specific intention is in that image. So every time you look at the image, you'll remember that, that you're going to sell that house or you're going to finish that painting or whatever it is that intention that you've set. And I suggest that people start with something small and manageable and something they can attain within a few weeks just to test it out.
I see.
But actually writing it out on the back of the paper, and that's before they start coloring, because they set the intention after the question and answer time. Then they think, then they're in that good space, and then they think about that and set the intention and then draw it.
Okay, I did see that in the explanation, but what I didn't get is that the goal should be written on the back of the grid that you color on.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can write it anywhere else, but that just, I like to write it on the back of it so then I don't forget exactly what I wrote down the first time.
Yeah, that's really good. Can you go back in, say, a week and you read the intention, and when you read it, it doesn't sound exactly right because you've changed and the concept has grown and evolved in your consciousness. Can you rewrite it?
Of course. It's your story.
Okay. I just want everybody to be clear,
that
it's not set in stone.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say that, for it to work and function, I mean, the original intention, it should still be aligned with that somewhat, but certainly refine it.
Okay. Wonderful. Now,
otherwise, we need to start over again.
Okay. Can I switch gears here now and talk just a few minutes, because we're almost out of time already, about your paintings? And Mark mentioned your bags earlier. What is the general material that your bags are made of?
I don't physically make the bags. I do the designs for them, and then I have them produced. So I send the images away, and then they print them. It's like a dye sub printing process, and it's on a microfiber fabric, which is really durable and kind of a little bit shiny and nice to touch. And some of them have leather trim, and some of them are all leather, and they print on leather as well. They're really, really high-quality bags, which I'm happy with. It took me a long time to find, someone to produce them. And they're produced on demand right now, too. So when somebody orders them, it takes a couple of weeks to get them.
All right. And how about the paintings? Do they relate at all to the person that is ordering them? What are you thinking about when you're painting them? How does that work?
Okay, the paintings are mostly for me, so they're whatever energy bent I'm on at the time. I recently just submitted some pieces for the Little Sixes show here in the Delaware Valley Arts Alliance as their holiday show, small canvases. And I started out with Flower of Life patterns, and that's what I was intending to do, and then it wasn't working. And I had two other canvases, and I wound up just doing some abstract paintings, which I love. But they also have that element in the Flower of Life. They have the waves, only big, not in the patterns, but big open waves. And they reflected my view out my window. I overlooked the Delaware, and it's beautiful fall color, so everything just fell into place. It was like I was too distracted by the view to do what else I wanted, so I just did that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds beautiful. And how many patterns or choices or paintings do you have?
Hundreds. hundreds.
And how would someone see how many you have and the different choices?
Okay, if you go to my DeborahCortese.com, and right now there's a few little kinks because I just put up a new front page, but I'll have those finished tomorrow. But if you get into the blog, there are links to everything on the blog. So there's art portfolios and paintings, photographs.
And prices?
And prices, yes. And if there isn't a price and somebody's interested, they can send me an email or call me. Phone and emails are on there. And also, I do custom work. So if someone has something in particular that they want. My background's in graphic design. I ran an advertising design agency for about 18 years. Yeah.
Wow, that's lovely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are unfortunately at the end of the show once again. So, Mark, I'll let you jump in.
All right. Yeah, I was actually side distracted. I was on her website blog looking at the purses. I went ahead and I went and posted it out to about 5,000 people around the world to go check out because the designs and everything in it are absolutely incredible. So everybody will have to go check those out. All right. Well, thank you for being on. And as always, it's great having you on, Pam.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you, Pam.
Nice to meet you, Deborah. Are you on Facebook?
Yes, I am. I'm all over social media.
Oh, good. Okay.
All right. Sounds good. And everybody, you've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. Have a great night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.